Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. You know, May is Foster Care Awareness Month, and here at Sin Relief, we want to provide you with resources that you need to engage and build support around vulnerable children and families. And so my friend Michelle Chutwood, she's with us today. She shares this passion, and she's joining in. But you'll also be encouraged to keep moving forward as we hear from Bobby Knipe today. Now, he was a former foster youth, now working in the fostering system with an agency he started called Fostering Champions. So let's get started. Michelle, thanks for helping me today, for coming on. And I just want to thank you, too, for introducing me to Bobby and Fostering Champions.
Yeah. Thank you, Lynette. It was such a pleasure to get to meet Bobby at a Virginia event that they were having, trying to get churches aware of foster care. And so he's already been a blessing to me.
Me too.
When we were sitting at the table at dinner the other day, having lunch, you mentioned that you were in foster care. Could you tell us a little bit about your story?
Yeah. I was born in Portsmouth, Virginia, and I was born in a normal family. Father was a welder. Mom was a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, I was enjoying being a little kid. And one day when I was 5 years old, I was over at my cousin's house, actually playing Nerf football in the back, and received a call to come to my aunt's house, where I had found out that my mother went to the hospital, and the hospital told her that basically she was just having reflux and just, you know, to go home and everything would be okay. And she went home and had a massive heart attack.
Wow.
And passed away.
Oh man.
And so that rocked my world. And my dad, who was in the Portsmouth shipyard as a welder, he just kind of turned to alcohol and turned his back on the family, which left my sister and I just packing up our stuff in our trash bags and jumping in the DSS car.
Wow.
And headed into foster care. And that's how my foster care experience started, when I was 5 years old in Portsmouth, Virginia.
Oh, man, Bobby, you were young.
Yes, I was young. I was five, and my sister was 7 years old. And luckily, the first two foster homes that we were in, we were able to be together. And by the third foster home, we were actually split.
Mm.
And, you know, that was another, you know, devastating blow when you're used to living with your sister. She's kind of your security at that point. And, you know, she jumps in one car and goes one way, you get in the car and go another way. Yeah.
Wow. I can't
imagine.
So
that was my introduction to foster care.
So what's going through, like, do you remember, Bobby, at that moment when your sister is in another car and you're in one car? Because I think this is a daily reality. Got me tearing up here. I think this is a daily reality for kids in care. What's going through your little mind at that time? Like, because you can't see past that moment, can you?
No, at that moment, you're losing your world, what you know. So you already lost the world of your parents and what it is to have, you know, a mom love you and hug you and, you know, be your mom. And you've lost that world. And then the only thing that you have left, you lost that. So in that moment, all you're thinking is of the loss, right? And so I lost her, and that just, you know, in that moment, it just, that's all I could focus on. And so at that point, I was just really a lost young soul.
Yeah. Oh.
Did they make arrangements for you all to get to see each other, or was that it for a long time?
So that was the promise that was made. But, you know, as life plays out and parents and foster parents are busy, that rarely happens. And so pretty much from the time that I was about 7 years old until probably 12 years old, I only seen her once or twice. And then I seen her as a teenager, you know, I would see her off and on, maybe once every 3 to 6 months I would see her. Mm. But there was never any stable relationship or communication. And sadly, all the horror stories that you hear in the foster care system, my sister went through that, which has had lasting effects even till today, which I do have a relationship with her today. And she just beat breast cancer.
Oh, amen. That's great.
By the time I reached my third foster home, I began going to church. I went to Alexander Baptist Church in Portsmouth, and I was involved. And y'all may remember this. I was involved in RAs.
Yeah.
So there was RAs and GAs. That takes us back and kind of tells our age.
Yeah.
So I was in RAs, and, you know, I was learning all the stories and, you know, learning about Jesus. And all this was so new to me. And you know, really what hit me in that moment was where he says in Psalms, he's the father of the fatherless.
Yeah, I love it. Yep.
You know, I was fatherless. And so that spoke to me. And then during RAs, Tommy Heath was able to give the salvation message, and it was in RAs where I accepted Christ.
Oh, that's amazing,
yeah.
Bobby.
So that was in June of 82 is when I accepted Christ and was baptized at Alexander. And so, you know, at that moment, I began, you know, to not feel so abandoned because I had a heavenly father. Mm-hmm. And then life, you know, continued to play on, and I moved through several more foster homes. And in that, my refuge was supposed to be the Lord. It was really baseball. I was doing very well in baseball, was getting scouted by many colleges and even professionally. And then, you know, I tore my ulnar nerve in my elbow while I was pitching. Mm. And so I went to Christopher Newport to kind of rehab, and I was with all my friends there, and we were just doing the normal college things that we weren't supposed to do. And it just, you know, after a period of time, it got old, and I was like, God, I can't keep on doing the same things over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so I went back to my previous foster home where my stepfather is a pastor and architect. And we had about a 2 or 3 hour conversation of just living your life for the Lord and what that looks like. And there we decided my best move was to go to Liberty University. And so I went to Liberty and majored in biblical studies and, you know, focused in on student ministry with Matt Wilmington, who was my main youth ministry teacher at the time, our professor. And it was there I really felt called into youth ministry. And so I've been in youth ministry now for 25 years. I just resigned recently, but in the last 12 years, I got involved in being a foster parent myself.
Yeah, that's life changing.
Yes, yep. And this is what's very interesting, and I'm not going to get into names, but one of the former pastors, and really the pastor emeritus at Franklin Heights, grandson started getting into trouble, and there was no homes for him around here, so they were going to send him away, and so they called me and said, "Hey, Bobby, would you take him in?" And so that was the very beginning of getting involved and being a foster parent, because I didn't want to see him, you know, sent away from his family. I didn't want to see his family go through that, and I didn't want to see him go through that. And so that's when I first took him in. That was 12 years ago, and 12 foster teens later, here I am.
Tell us how you took that first step. Like, you began to engage the system in Virginia, because you shared with me that Virginia's like bottom of the line for helping
aging out foster teens.
Yeah, tell us about that, mm-hmm. and then just what got you started.
Yeah, so what really got me started, obviously, was the beginning was with the young fellow that I took in, the very first one. One day I was in my office preparing for Wednesday night, and I read James 1:27, and yeah. I've read it before, but in this moment with the office quiet, the Lord was speaking, and it was just screaming to me, a pure and undefiled religion is one who takes care of the orphans and the widows. And I just began just weeping because I was an orphan. I was taken care of. And for me, I have to stand before the Lord, right? And to give an account for my wife and what I did. And so I'm like, I know about the issue. I know about the problems. I know Virginia's at the very bottom. God, what do you want me to do? And that's where it was birthed. I began to have many conversations with Pastor Stan Paris and with some of the other pastors. And Fostering Champions actually came from Liberty University, training champions for Christ.
I love it.
And so I was sitting there. I'm like, oh, and I don't know why my mind thinks this. I'm like, okay, I have to give a name to this and what God's just birthing in me and breathing through me. And what is this? And I always loved training champions for Christ, and just Fostering Champions came out, and that's where Fostering Champions came from, and that's where it began.
Yeah, I love the name. It's very powerful.
It is powerful. It really is, because it changes your perspective. Michelle, I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, foster care, foster kids, has such a negative connotation in the public.
Yeah.
And I want to change that. Right. So mm-hmm. I'm not ashamed that I was a foster kid. And people ask me, yes, I was a foster kid. But these kids are champions.
Yeah.
The trauma, the life, the changes, all the stuff that they've been through to come through that, they're already champions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to continue to foster that to where they become champions in life.
Yeah. And you shared with me too, Bobby, that only about 5-10% of our churches are even engaged in foster care, which here, Michelle and I would tell you at Sin Relief, we want to see that change. And, you know, the tools we're offering and that's, and all of that, and just the stories we continue to share in the podcast of, you know, just normal people living their lives. God calls and says, hey, just take this one step, you know, this first step of faith. But I love the way, like Michelle said, fostering champions, like, that's transformation, right? And you want to help kids navigate the system, but also just champion out of it.
Absolutely. And I'm serving in the area of aging out because Virginia is the worst. And, you know, that's where I feel God has called me to be. Just serving them and loving them and being patient with them and providing the housing and the tools, that allows for transformation. And I've already seen, and I'm sure later on we'll talk about a couple of the stories, but God has put these foster teens in my life, and I've been able to see them become champions in life. And these are foster kids that are coming from mental, physical, sexual abuse, abandonment, just horror stories. And now they're thriving in life because somebody loved them, spent time with them, and helped provide, you know, the tools they needed in life.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, and, you know, just thinking about my adult kids, they needed me.
Yes.
Probably when they were 18, 19, 20 than they did when they were 11, 12. And
yeah.
And they're so, those kids who are aging out, they're so vulnerable to a whole lot of darkness.
Yeah.
So the fact that you are, you know, God showed you this problem and now God's given you a solution is amazing.
They're so vulnerable. I mean, we know right now that, you know, they're so vulnerable to human trafficking. They're vulnerable to pregnancy. 7 in 10 of the girls out there, which is 70%, are pregnant by 21. 60% of the foster boys have been convicted of a crime by the time they're 21. 60%.
Wow.
And 20% of the kids immediately when they age out are homeless.
Wow.
And, you know, 50% of them develop a substance dependence. So the statistics for our kids, or our foster kids, or horrible. And we want to be the change, right? We do want to see them go from homeless and aging out to heroes, to champions in life.
Yeah. And you, even though, like, when they age out, 20% find themselves homeless, you also share that number just increases. 40% of the teens, they're homeless by 21. So it's, we got to figure out, we got to get to the beginning of this, right? And amen. So Kevin and I were talking about Champion Housing and in your brochure, and I just get so excited looking at this. So tell us about Champion Housing, because you've brought in corporate sponsors. You're thinking way outside the box.
You know, when God laid this on my heart, you know, it was one of those, what I would call a BHAG, which y'all have heard, a big, hairy, audacious goal. It was huge. And I'm like, okay, God, this is bigger than me. You're asking me to step out of my comfort zone.
Right.
I've been a youth pastor 25 years. I know that backwards and forwards. I can put on the all-nighters. I can put on the events. I can share the gospel. I can preach. I can do the, you know, the PowerPoint. I can do all that. I'm comfortable. But you're asking me to step out of this and give all that up. And many people looked at me like I'm crazy. Like, why would you believe? I mean, because Franklin Heights is an incredible church, mm-hmm. incredible youth ministry,
right.
incredible people. But when God lays it on your heart to do something, you have to do it. And so I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to step out and do what you called me to do. I had no clue how I'm going to do it. And just things, you know, has evolved. He started with the dream. What is the dream? Well, the goal and the dream is to get foster kids that are aging out and homeless under our care. The only way to do that is to provide housing. Now, you know, providing housing is very, very expensive.
Yeah.
Right now, as we are talking in my backyard, the footers of the Foster and Champions home is actually being put in the ground as we're talking.
Wow.
So that's incredible within
yeah.
itself.
Yeah.
But within that, so a week after I resigned from Franklin Heights, I got a call from Cabell Gardner from Gardner Construction. He said, Bobby, did you buy this house on South Main Street in Rocky Mountain? I'm like, yes, I did. He said, well, I own your backyard. I said, you do? He's like, yeah, do you want to buy it? I'm like, yes, I want to put a house for foster teens. He's like, okay, well, let me call you back in about a week or two. And my wife and I was at this local tea shop. It's called Touch of Grace. It's followers of Christ own it. And we went in there for the first time. And we were talking to the owner, and she's like, well, look at our prayer room. And so my wife and I, we went back and looked at the prayer room. And when you're in the prayer room, of course, you're praying.
Right.
And so my wife and I were praying. And as we left Touch of Grace, and our feet hit the sidewalk, we got a call. Now, before I tell you what the call was, the cup I still have, it's in front of me right now. It says, because of your faith, it will happen.
Yeah.
Right? I have this cup. It's in my hand right this second. Touch Grace. I got a phone call from Cabell Gardner. He said, my wife and I discussed it, and we're going to donate the acre of land in town to you.
Amen.
He said, not only are we going to do that, we're going to design a house specifically for aging out foster teens, and we're going to build it for free.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I mean, what can you do but just be in awe of
that's
God
right.
and what he's done?
That's
I
right.
Mean, I don't know that words could, you know, really express what your heart is feeling. So that is what began everything. And then I began to contact different business owners in my area, and so did Cabell. And now our roofing has been donated, our trussing has been donated, our heat and air has been donated, our windows, our foundation, our grading.
Bobby, that is beautiful. That's
donated.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's how the Lord works.
That is how the Lord works. And we get so short-sighted, don't we?
Yep.
That is great. That is fantastic. So you're bringing in corporate sponsors too. And you also have a thing. It kind of reminds me how, you know, there's these international programs where you can sponsor kids. We all have, probably jumped in on that. But you have a thing where we can sponsor a teen, because you've got college in mind for a lot of these kids. Share some of those stories with us.
Yeah, so just two quick stories. The first story is Shanti. 6 years ago, Shanti came into my life. Shanti was a resident of Fairfax, Virginia. It was her mom, and three other siblings. And her mom was mixed up in drugs and was a part of the MS-13 gang.
Oh, wow.
And they were abusing Shanti in a way to groom her to be in sex trafficking. And as she got old enough, she threatened MS-13 to turn him into the police. And that created a very dangerous situation, and that they were going to kill Shanti. And so Shanti's mom gathered them all up from Fairfax and began her trek from battered women's shelter to battered women's shelter, to where they ended up in a trailer. Now, all of a sudden, it took an act of Congress to get social services involved, but they finally got involved and they called me. They're like, "Bobby, will you take Shanti?" I'm like, "Absolutely."
Yeah. And
so she came. So, you know, they brought Shanti over, and come to find out, Shanti has a sister. I said, "Well, I'm not taking Shanti without taking her sister."
Yeah, wow. You've been through that.
Yes. So they were going to send her sister to Richmond. And they told Paulina, "No, you're not going to go to Richmond. Bobby and Dell are going to take you in." So we took both of those girls in. We, you know, in the very beginning, it was very tough. At 2 a.m, you would find them locked in the food closet, eating.
Yeah.
You know, we worked through those, just loving them, taking them to church. And, you know, just sharing the love of Christ with them. I was able to baptize both Paulina and Shanti. I led them to the Lord and was able to baptize them, which was a phenomenal moment.
Yeah.
So to see them move from hiding in the closet to being saved to now, Shanti is in her junior year with a 3.8, studying to be a physical therapist.
Wow.
Which is phenomenal. And that's what we want to see. We have a young fellow, Rocky. Rocky is an incredible young guy. And I was introduced to him about a year ago, and he was sleeping on his friend's couches in the middle of the projects. And his dream was to go to Ole Miss to study law. And maybe about a month or two before they were supposed to show up to school, I got a call. And it was a local lawyer in the area who knew Rocky and was like, "Well, you know, can you help him?" Well, I called him, met with him, and talked with him. Incredible young fella. But, you know, a month or two to get into school, it was $12,000. And I'm like, "Rocky, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to get you there." And so I did a GoFundMe and, you know, also engaged my donors so far, and we were able to raise almost $18,000.
Wow.
So we give him a stipend while he's there, so he has money, so he can go out with his friends.
Right.
But his college was paid for, and he was offered 3 law internships in Rocky Mountain.
Oh, man. Bobby, so that's incredible.
That's how we want to turn the homeless into heroes and foster champions.
I got to tell you, I really think that trade school is such a great option now. And so you've got something going on there with trade schools, getting aged out teens involved and getting them a profession going. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I've had the opportunity to meet with several local business owners that are in the trades. One of them is a roofing company.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah,
a plumbing company and electrical company have all agreed that as we have aging out foster teens who are ready to go to trade school, that they will bring them in, understanding that they are foster teens and they have been through, you know, so much in their life, but they want to mentor them and help them learn the trade so that they can provide for themselves throughout their life. And so we've been blessed to have several business owners who have agreed to take kids under their wing in trade school.
Yeah, we have a plumber in a church we love and got to know him, and he's taken in foster teens who have aged out of the system, a lot of guys teach them to weld and do plumbing and kind of an apprenticeship kind of situation. That's another way the church can jump in, because we all have ways that we provide for our families, and we can share that knowledge with these sweet souls aging out. And wouldn't you guys agree, a great place to start is just to go on the Sin Relief website and look at FAM Ministry, F-A-M. And that's how I met Bobby. That's what Michelle was having a meeting that day. They asked me to come and join in and share about FAM. And it's a great place to start if you just really want to take the first step. If you know that maybe the Lord's not calling you to foster, like Bobby said, bring a young soul into your home, but to love them and mentor them. Bobby, could you add anything to that? We'll step into FAM ministry, and then we get going in our church. But this can build the church. Like, this can change the trajectory of the church to say to a lost and broken world, we love those who are struggling.
Absolutely. Yeah. What I'm finding out as I'm speaking in some churches is it's not that people don't want to help or be involved. They just don't know about it,
right,
and they don't know how to get involved. And that's where FAM comes in. I believe if you go to the website, you can actually sign up for a phone call to become a FAM representative. And that is just a very clear first step for you and the church. Go ahead.
Yeah. You're not alone in it. They walk you through the process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the wisdom that's given is very helpful.
Well, Bobby, as we're wrapping this up, just any advice you'd give to someone who just hasn't jumped, you know, they don't even know a foster teen. They don't know a family who fosters, or, you know, it's hard for me to believe in this day and age because they're at everyone's back door, right? They're just, they're not far from our front door at all in all of our communities. And I have met the most wonderful people, like Paul and Michelle Chitwood, you know, it's like our common bond for each other is we both love Jesus and missions, and we both love kids. And we kept our homes open, wanted the Lord to fill them. And knowing they did it, we did. It just supports one another. So just for the person who's just thinking about this and they've just got that burning desire to jump in, what would you say to them?
Right. Well, the very first thing that I would say is your typical church answer, but it's so true and so powerful, is that you have to bathe it in prayer.
Yep.
You need to not only develop that compassion for others, just make sure that, you know, that's God's call on your life. I wouldn't recommend anybody just jump in. So you start and you develop the compassion for the kids through prayer. And then I believe the very next step is to get involved in FAM, whether you're sponsoring or learning about foster care, so that you can be with a community of people with like-heartedness, right, for the foster kids, and get in there and begin to gather information so that you're comfortable with the system. And then from there, I believe God will very clearly reveal to you what direction to go, whether you're being called to be a foster parent, or, you know, like you said, a CASA worker or respite, or just getting involved in a local nonprofit for foster kids. I believe God will direct you.
Well, Bobby, I love what you say in your booklet, and we want to direct people to that. But you said, I love changing people's perspective on aging out foster teens. You said, especially the skeptic. You love working with them, and you love seeing the light bulb come on for them. You see their heart change. We can be Jesus with flesh on to teens who need a family, who need a support system. So I just can't thank you enough. If people want to get involved in what you're doing, or duplicate this in their state or their community, or just help you financially, where can they go?
Yes. So our website is wefosterchampions.org.
Perfect.
And that's very easy to remember and straight to the point, because it's not one person that is fostering champions. It's all of us, whether it's a corporation, a church, a community, we foster champions.
Mm-hmm. We're all in. We want to be a part. So thank you
Absolutely.
For joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Bobby.
God bless y'all.
God bless.
Bye.
I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend, and you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening. and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.